Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Steve.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 82, Dylan Frost. Dylan is an employee, not an e-commerce seller of a company that is owned by Dan Metters and Eric Lambert in Kentucky. And, you know, I call him an employee. I don't mean it as a negative. He just doesn't own the business, but he's a key cog in the wheel of that company. And he really owns quite a bit of their success. And it's neat to talk to somebody in that position. And, you know, I saw Dylan and Eric a week ago in Orlando. And Dan said, nothing's off the table. Go ahead and ask him anything you want. And who knows what he'll say. And he's very candid and very honest. And I think it's some good perspective for us to think about as you're trying to grow an e-commerce business. And you're saying, what if I bring on somebody who's not a packer or a shipper? And let's see. Dylan is not. And I think it's a neat story. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And tonight's guest is someone different, someone very, very different than almost all the other guests I've had on, because he does not own an e-commerce business per se. I guess he has his own e-commerce business himself, because he's been in the e-commerce world and the IT world and the internet world at a whopping age of 26 pretty much his whole life. Welcome, Dylan Frost. Welcome, Dylan.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. It's great to talk to you.
We were just together in Orlando at the ScanPower conference, and we got chatting. And, you know, everybody said, you know, you got to have Dylan on. And I already had you on my radar because, you know, when I interviewed Dan, I don't know how long ago, it's been a while, he talked about that Dan Metters and Eric Lambert have a business in Kentucky. And one of their first hires was you. And it was so different. You know, I expected him to say, oh, yeah, we hired packers and shippers and, you know, sourcers and this and that. And he goes, no, we hired a marketing guy. And at first I was like, you know, what are they talking about? But I've seen what they've done and what they've been able to put together. And Dan is very quick to say, Dylan has brought that to our organization. Is that a fair statement? I mean, I know that's a little hard to take because somebody's talking about you, but is that kind of a decent synopsis?
Sure, I'll accept that. I like to take credit for a lot of things that we do, of course.
Well, you know, it's just interesting to me, and I want to get into the whole story of how and where your input is in the business, and where you, you know, knowing you, I think you put yourself into scenarios in the business, my bet, and in a good way. So I'm really interested. But let's go back and let's talk about how you got to where you are. So you're a whopping 26 years old. So you went to school. And what was your major when you went to school?
Communications, actually, University of Louisville.
Okay. So you wanted to be – were you going to be a writer, a talk show guy, sports? What was your interest?
I actually had no idea, like most college students. As soon as I turned 18, I applied for a job and got it working IT at a community college. And then went online through the University of Louisville while I was working IT. It's because IT I was just doing support at that time, just something I always knew a lot about, always had a lot.
And was it because you did it as a kid? I mean, at your house and that? Was that your hobby?
Yeah, I did it for the high school I attended as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I got a lot of training there, helping around the high. Of course, I was unpaid naturally, but I got to do it during school hours. So I got to, you know, skip out on a couple of classes, help the teachers with IT-related stuff. So I had some experience, jumped right into it, doing the same stuff in college, or at that community college, and worked my way up to do web design for them, to do eventually started teaching classes on IT, things of that nature.
Let me ask this question, because I had this conversation with some family over the weekend. We were talking about the generational differences. And when do you remember touching your first computer or seeing your first computer?
Oh, I remember the exact time. It was Windows 95. It was my uncle's computer, and he sat me down, and I believe I played Doom.
How old were you?
Video game Doom. Oh, man. I had to be probably 8, 7.
Okay, so what is that, first grade?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Really young.
So here, let me give the context, okay? So I'm 50 years old, going to be 51. In my high school, this is no exaggeration, My senior year of high school is when they put computers in my school. Senior year, and I already, it was way into the year, and I didn't take a computer class. It was, I had an easy math class, and that math teacher was the computer teacher additionally, right? And they had about 6 or 8 computers in the back of the room. That was it. And he let me go back there and play, you know, and that we were writing programs in BASIC. That's what it was back then. And that's, so my point was with this person this weekend in the conversation is the competitive advantage that you have. There is no learning curve for this internet. There's a reason somebody your age can come into this e-commerce business and pick it up instantaneously, where it takes an older fella like myself a lot more, because the learning curve, you just have, you know, your whole life has been nothing but computers, where mine started way past where my brain is supposedly the most spongy, right?
Right. It's second nature for me, really. Just been surrounded by it, inundated.
Okay. So I think that's a perspective that I think, you know, us more mature sellers, I don't want to call us old, have to remember, though. And so we seem to get a little frustrated from time to time, like, wait, why is that so easy, or why am I struggling with it? It's a perspective that you just got to understand. It's going to take us a little longer just because we haven't been around it as much. So, and you know better. That's all you know, right? You couldn't go back and do this stuff by hand because you weren't trained that way. So fair. It just want to make sure that context, you really helped that. The fact that you're 26 kills me, but that's another issue. Okay, so you're working at the school. You went back to school and did some classes and things. Did you think you were going to be an IT guy? I mean, was that your goal?
That's what it was looking like, and that's how I thought it was going to end up. At that time, I was so young and just didn't really know what I was doing. I had started to become complacent. I was like, yeah, I'm making pretty good money now. I can just do this job for the rest of forever, retire. I think my retirement age, because I started so young full time, was going to be like 49 years old or something crazy. I was like, yeah, I'll just do this.
Dude, I just said I'm 50. Right. Come on. You're killing me.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I figured I would just ride that on out. And so, but after about 2 years of that, I really was feeling complacent, and it was affecting my work, or I just wasn't happy with what I was doing anymore. And so this opportunity to change everything up and get into business couldn't have come at a more perfect time for me, really.
How did you meet Dan and Eric?
So I've known Eric for a really long time. I've probably, I think 8 or 9 years I've known Eric and Dan as well for a while. We all actually know each other because we all have a mutual, a game that we all play. It's a collectible card game, Magic the Gathering. We know each other from that. Traveling to play the game competitively. So we all kind of knew each other. And just from that, interestingly enough.
And so one day while you're in your capes, sitting over your cards, right? Isn't that how it goes, right? You guys dress up in those things, right?
No, I don't know. Nothing that nerdy.
Okay, not that bad. So one day, though, this idea came up and Dan says, hey, you know, Eric and I are talking about a business, just walk us through how that conversation went.
Yeah, it's so crazy because I could remember it when Eric left him and Dan left their jobs. They just told me about it one time that they were selling stuff on Amazon. I was like, whoa, well, what are you selling? And they're just stuff that we buy at retail stores at Walmart. And I didn't understand it, frankly. It fascinated me. And then I remember it just kept growing and growing, and they kept doing better and better. And I kind of got to see it from the outside looking in. And I remember even like taking the effort to really, I wanted to try to do it myself. But it seemed kind of daunting at the time. So I didn't bother, but eventually over years, they grew this business. And then luckily one day, they wanted to start using me or my talents to help them. And I got lucky. They contracted me out to create a website for them. And that's how it really all got started.
Okay. So they brought you in and they were testing the water, seeing if you had the skills, and obviously you had the chops to do it, and it worked. Did they cast a vision? Because when I remember interviewing Dan, I mean, I remember him telling me that one of the first hires they made was you. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, why not a sourcer? Why not a packer and a shipper and stuff like that? He goes, no, we had a vision for something different. Can you walk us through? I mean, did he cast a vision to say, Dylan, this is what we envision you doing?
or was it, hey, we'll figure it out as we go?
Yeah, it was. Everybody was trying to figure out stuff as they went. So Dan and Eric had been primarily retail arbitrage based, and that's what they had done for years. But they wanted to transition their business because just the man hours that requires was extremely high. They were making a lot of money. They were that year, particular year that they brought me on, they had just did $1.2 million in sales only off of retail arbitrage. But that took 60 hours a day worth of work, 60 hours a week, rather, worth of work to accomplish. So they wanted to transition into something where it wasn't just so overwhelming for them. So they started looking into wholesale. And with no experience and no idea really where to start. And Dan likes to tell some funny stories about when they first got into wholesale, calling companies and absolutely just begging them, pleading on the phone to get these companies to sell to them. And a lot of them would turn him down. He was having a really hard time or struggling with it. So they had taken something that they were so good at with retail arbitrage and gotten really good at it, and then tried to totally switch into a completely new direction that they didn't know a whole lot about.
Okay, so hold it there. All right, so they realized what they were doing wasn't scalable, sustainable, just with the two of them or what have you, right? So they're saying, hey, we want to build a long-term business. We want to build a real long-term business here. We think wholesale's the way to go. They attempt to dig into wholesale probably with the same tenacity that they did retail, right? Just calling everybody and everybody's going to say yes, and that was not their experience.
Right, yeah. So it required different kinds of skill sets and different kinds of knowledge. Like with retail arbitrage, you can just put your head down and through pure force of will, do it. Right. Wholesale is a little different.
So what gave them the idea that they want to take a business approach to wholesale? And my follow-up then is, why you?
I think that the first time, or it was more of a realization, really, they were on a wholesale website, filling out an application, and it said, what is your primary method for selling products? Like, and they would type online. And so it's like, all right, so you chose online. So the next field was, then what's your website? And they were like, don't have one. Okay. That's when they realized, like, okay, wait, I see. We need a presence online. That doesn't really make sense, you know, selling online, but you don't have a website. And so the first person in their mind to think to call or contact was me.
Okay, so it wasn't because of your wholesale expertise that's still at that point. It was, hey, he could just build us a website.
Right. And
okay.
So that's what they do. They call me, just give me – and their instructions were literally just, we need a website of any kind. We don't really care if it looks nice or it's good. I just know that we need one. I see other people doing this. They have a website and it's total crap, but it really helps them get their foot in the door. So just, you know, take a few hours and throw us up a crap website and we'll appreciate it and we'll pay you a little bit for doing it.
So now I'm being on the other side of that. Is that true? Now that you know, I mean, I'm sure there are some wholesalers would say, yeah, that's great. But if you want to get to the cream of the crop wholesalers, what's your advice today, knowing what you know today?
Yeah, that's absolutely not true.
Okay.
I guess that they were
– I was hoping that it wasn't true. I was hoping it was a little more sophisticated
right.
than that.
And that's not what I did either. I took a lot of time. I took it on as a real hardcore project because I knew I was having to prove myself. I looked at that opportunity like, man, if I do a really good job, they may want to bring me on. I knew at that moment, I was like, I want to work with these guys. I know we're all real smart people. We can really move forward and do a lot of things. So this is an opportunity for me to do good work, and hopefully it turns into something.
So it wasn't for you to get into the website designing business. That wasn't your goal. That wasn't it.
No, absolutely not. So I spent hours and hours building them a great e-commerce website that looked pleasing. I did all kinds of research into what kind of value do I need to bring to encourage wholesale companies to take them serious and really put all those elements into it. And that's what I presented with them, what I gave them to use. And they started seeing immediate improvement in the ability to gain accounts. So they started using that website, using a new presence, a new structure for communicating with companies, and it increased their approval rates by around 25 to 30%.
Okay, so they track this stuff. So again, and you know, and I don't want to discount this. These are smart dudes. I mean, these guys get it. They might come across as a Kentucky, that Kentucky voice and this and that. Don't be fooled. These are smart dudes. And so basically they're saying, hey, you know, here's, we want to sell online, right? Or they probably, did you have them change the word from online to e-commerce or something like that?
Oh yeah, all kinds of stuff
okay.
like that.
All right. So, and this is before you really officially started. And then the second time they answer the question, now here's our website and there's real legitimacy. Was the website, did it have a shopping cart?
Yes.
Working?
Yes.
Okay, so everything was working. You weren't just pulling, scraping stuff off of Amazon, filling in the site, were you?
No, it was real inventory that they were able to put together. And it was actually, that website was an Amazon Web Store website, which is about to
go away.
Yeah, they're ending that.
Yeah, they're going to go away. So did you have to use the AWI at all?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, so you got a little familiar there. So again, so you're slowly, I'm on to you. You're slowly infiltrating this organization, right? You're wheedling your way in a positive way because you realize this is an opportunity, and they're smart enough to realize, hey, we've got some bench strength here. Okay, so at this point, when did the conversation? I want to go right up to the conversation. When the conversation? Hey, we want to bring you on full time because I really want to get the context of what they led you to believe it would be.
Yeah, that's a cool story. Dan and Eric were actually at a conference in Las Vegas, and one of the speakers at this conference, they really enjoyed him, and he said something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it was, if you really want to grow your business, if you really want to go places, number one thing that you should do is surround yourself with the smartest people that you know. So it sounds like I'm tooting my own horn here. So when they heard that, they took it to heart, and their first thought was, well, Dylan. So they decided, they went, had a few beers after that and talked about it and said, well,
a few hundred beers knowing those two, but that's all
right. Right. And they talked about it and said, like, can we afford to bring him on? They knew that they would have to pay quite a bit to wrangle me away from my job. And then like, what will we have him do? And they looked at each other and they really weren't sure what they were going to have me come in and do in their business. They just knew that they wanted me around and they would figure that part out.
Okay. So we're up to that point. The conversation hasn't happened, but they had this epiphany as they're sitting there watching this guy saying, you know what, you guys are having success. And I'm sure this person in their mind was talking directly to them. You're having success, but you're probably struggling. You need to bring on smarter people and surround yourself with them. And they thought of you, which is a cool thing. And I'm certain that they would tell the story the same way because I know it's right. So, all right, what I want to do is I want to take a break and then I want to come back and get into what you were able to do your first week, your first month, where, you know, how do you tackle something where there's really not a defined job, right? You could be out there packing boxes, right? I'm sure you have packed boxes, right? But you really want to create an atmosphere and a growing business, and this is a growing business. So let's take a quick break. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. It's interesting that Dylan's only 26. He does sound a little nervous having these discussions because, let's face it, he's talking about his bosses. He's talking about, you know, their business model, and I want to be very cautious and respectful of that. But, you know, the dude is smart. He knows a lot, and I love his approach. You know, Dan is, if you have a conversation with Dan, he's quick to say that consistency that Dylan has brought our business, the things that we know we should do and we're just not disciplined to do because we got all these other things going on. Life is going to happen. The boxes, you know, the shipment's going to be late. The truck's going to be late. There's going to be problems. They can deal with that stuff. But in the meantime, they have somebody who's vested in their business, who's looking out for their business, who they've all agreed on a technique and, approach. They know it's getting done. That consistency is what brings success. It's not that, hey, getting lucky, finding that one product. It's finding that one product week in, week out is how you really get to scale. And these guys have proven that it works. Big investment, but there's a reason.
listen to the success. Let's get back into the podcast.
All right, we're back, and we're talking with Dylan Frost. And Dylan is – what's your title? Are you the marketing director?
Sure.
What's the title? Is that what the title they give you?
We don't really have titles.
Which is cool. So, but, I mean, when he introduced your name to me, it was we hired a marketing guy who, you know, could fix computers, could do all that jazz. But, man, he just – he's consistent in our message. He is the chief message guy for us. Describe what you think your title would be.
Yeah, I guess it would be web design and marketing director.
Okay, okay. So you're clear in your role, and marketing director is not the term of marketing that we all would think it is. Well, I mean, I guess we should say that really because you're selling your company to outside vendors.
Right.
Really, right, who have choices.
The way that I try to explain it is that our customer – are the wholesale and manufacturer companies that we deal with because we have to sell ourselves to them. They're very particular about the types of sellers or people that they're willing to accept and represent their brand. When you're carrying your product, you're effectively representing their brand. And so they have to be comfortable with you. They have to choose you. You know,
And there are lots of, let's face it, you know, we were just at ASD, and at ASD, they were saying that they're almost every person coming up to them is given the same pitch. I sell on Amazon. I could do exclusive for you. I could do this for you. I could do this for you. Every single person. So as you say, there are so many choices. So what are they going to look at? They're going to look for that professionalism. They're going to look for that consistent message that you're going to help protect their brand. Okay. So we know that. What I want to do, though, is I want to get to your first week on the job. You pull up to this place, right? Now, you built the website, so you probably spent some time there already.
Yeah.
Okay. And was this their old first warehouse, second warehouse?
This was – by the time I had started, they had just moved. I mean, just had moved in a couple of weeks prior to their newest warehouse, this 10,000 –
this big warehouse that they're in now.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get in there. I mean, did you have a desk? Did they give you anything?
Yeah. Yeah. So they had ordered that stuff before I made it in.
Okay.
Had a desk computer, had a nice office, so had everything I needed to get started.
So what'd you do?
Well, I really jumped in. They were kind of in a phase with wanting to try to experiment with private label. So that I started just completely indoctrinating myself with trying to understand private label, try to figure out what we needed to do, building a private label brand, all the marketing that was entailed with that to make it successful. And spent probably my first month really heavily dedicated to that and did not do so well with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there a return? Because I know everybody listening to this is saying, I don't have the money. I can't afford a guy like this. What am I doing? I need somebody to help fill boxes, right? You weren't filling boxes. So you dedicated yourself to this product, but you didn't bring them a return right away. Would you say – that was a failure? Would they say it was a failure?
I think so. I would at least a failure in terms of
so
monetarily.
Wait. For that. You would say it or they would say it?
I would say it.
Okay, so you would say it. What would they say?
I'm not sure. I imagine it would be like it was just a learning experience. Any experience like that, you learn from it and grow from it. It ended up helping me get into the right space, though.
Okay, so I'm sure they would say that was tuition, right? That was what the tuition was. They had to pay you to learn to pull yourself up. And how did you get to the right space? So explain that.
Yeah, I've always been real passionate about learning with anything. So I took a really long time, and I'm sure I was annoying to everybody asking questions nonstop, but I made sure to learn the wholesale model and learn Amazon selling in general. And as I started to get more comfortable and learn more, we started transitioning into where I was helping create better communication messages, more email templates, like just building our brand and how we represent ourselves online and through communicating with wholesale manufacturers. So I started less private label, more wholesale communication. The big thing that really was a big time investment and completely changed everything was when we went to what I call the anchor site model for representing ourselves online.
So you use this term anchor. So explain to me what is the anchor model? Walk me through it. Even generically, I don't want you to give away any trade secrets and you know, I want to protect their business model because they sell a course where they teach this junk, right? But I just want to understand. I mean, here's a business, as you said, doing $1.2 million when you got there. They're now crushing it. I mean, they're multiple time, and you own some of that. And them believing in you and investing in you, and then you investing back in them, you have a piece of ownership of that success. So I don't want to downplay it, but I want to understand it, because again, I don't think people are willing to invest in a – they don't see the value yet of what you were able to bring to their business. Now, for me, I would sit back and say, well, I imagine Dan and Eric are working on the business, but you're in there just off to the side making sure that things get done. Nobody else – you know, the crisis goes in. They have to jump over to the crisis. You can stay on message and make sure the hard work gets done, right?
Absolutely. So the anchor model was something that was built or that we created, and I spent a whole lot of time doing based off of learning from past experiences and past failures and then figuring out what's the best way that we can do this. So effectively, like, here's a communication method that doesn't work, and you had mentioned it earlier. Contacting a company or communicating with the company and be like, hey, I'm Jim. I sell on Amazon out of my house. I'd like to carry your product exclusively on Amazon and be the exclusive seller. And the company's going to be like, well, first of all, you're not a real business. And second of all, like, why would I want to sell with you exclusively? Like, what can you do for me? Because you have to realize, as the seller, we don't really have the power. It's the manufacturer, the wholesale company, that has all the power in this situation. You can't just like wave dollar bills in front of their face and them want to work with you. It doesn't really work that way, because they care less about that short-term monetary gain, more about the long-term representation of their brand and what will be the growth of their brand. So you have to look at it and approach from that perspective. So what we did was we created ourselves as and represent ourselves as an entity, as a business, as a company. So we approach these companies as that company. We use company emails, right? We're not communicating people through a Hotmail.
And that's a great tip. I mean, that's a great tip right there. I mean, it sounds so simple, but using Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo or any of those does not give you legitimacy. I mean, that's a great tip.
Right. And we communicate with them like, you know, hi, my name is blank and I represent blank company. You know, that's the kind of the introduction that when we email them or whatever. We spend a lot of time on the phone with companies too. We've definitely learned that communicating by phone and getting good at communication via phone is incredibly impactful. And then most of all, you know, just having a website that you can present to these companies where you're presenting yourself as a brand, as a company. And that anchor model is about you represent your company is represented there, but then also any of your sub companies or sub retail sites that you have that provide additional value. That's a big thing with sellers, is you have to be able to show, or that's a big thing with manufacturers, being able to show them that you are diverse, that you don't just sell on Amazon, that you can sell in other places and in other ways.
Well, let me ask that question, because where you're going with there, it made me think of something. So the website you're describing, this is not the e-commerce website, or is this a different website?
No, it was the website that represents the brand and shows all the values that you can bring to their company and to their product. And
so it's the other products that you're currently selling and how they're presented and that kind of thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. And then on that, do you have links to your eBay, or somebody used the phrase eCrater? I didn't even know they were still in business. Etsy and Amazon stores beneath that? Is that what you were referring to show them the other places, or what else you could do with their product?
Yeah, anywhere that their product can be sold or is sold, we'll list it there and show them examples of ways that we've helped other companies, the things that we
okay.
can do with all kinds.
That's where I was going next.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're giving them references and saying, hey, you know, I sell lingerie, and I've done business. Here are some of the companies we represent, blah, 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 blah. And we've been doing business with them for X period of time for confidence. Do you actually give them the contact information for references, or do you say references, contact references can be available upon request?
Absolutely. That's social proof. It's extremely powerful.
So it's almost like a resume.
Yeah, when you contact, like, Nike, for instance, and you're able to tell them, like, yeah, we work with Converse. It makes you much more legitimate.
They're not saying that, you know, hey, I don't want to work with anybody that sells Converse because we're Nike. They're saying, hey, if they can handle Converse and they treat them well, then we would be, you know, likely to get the same results, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Right, absolutely. And that's how one success can lead to another. And you take advantage of that. That's a built-in advantage. When you have one success, you're able to acquire one company. You can leverage getting that company approval to try to help you get other ones, whether it be through that testimonial or just to show them the success that you've had with that line and bringing about more attention to that brand and so forth.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I think you'd mentioned the closing rate when they started, right? You were able to improve it, what, 25%? Is that what, just with the website?
Yeah, just with that now, initial website. Then we switched to the anchor model and doubled it again.
Okay, so now all of a sudden you're closing a very high percentage of these, right? You're getting through to the right person. Is that an art form, getting through to the right person?
It absolutely is. It took a lot of time for us to figure out exactly all the little steps from figuring out who the right person to contact is, the methods that you should be choosing to contact people over what, when you default, what contact method you default to or switch back and forth to, how you communicate with them. There's just so much to that.
Do you use a CRM software or anything yet at this point? Has it gotten to be that, you know, that large of a scale where that almost becomes necessary?
Not quite a CRM, but we do have a process where we use a lot of different virtual assistants to help us through.
Okay, but you have a documented process. Hey, here's the step one, step two, step three. How many wholesalers a week are you contacting now, given that this is built up to this level?
Oh, wow. We probably send out over, I would imagine, between 50 and 100 emails every week.
Every week?
Every week, yeah.
Across all different categories?
Yeah.
You don't concentrate on a category a week saying, hey, this week it's shoes, next week it's bras, and the week after it's underwear or something?
Sometimes we absolutely do that. We'll really want to learn, because there's a lot of different things about these different categories and the kinds of companies that sell products in them, advantages that you can gain or learn about, you know, little things that ways that you can kind of change your communication plan with them that will make you more enticing. And sometimes we do focus like that. Yeah.
So out of the number that you're sending out, what's your expected contact rate? Then what's the expected open rate? I guess I would go through. I mean, I guess that's kind of the same thing as what I'm thinking. And then what number are you able to place initial orders with?
Yeah. So the great thing is, or the crazy thing is to not have any kind of expectation, because it's so wildly different for each company that you deal with. And that's, some of them will reply to you within hours. And some, we've had some companies that we emailed and they contacted us back 3 months later, you know, like they had just got back to us the day after. Pretty funny. And that is just normal. It's normal for it to be abnormal. So you have, like, what we do is we email every company and then we follow up whether they responded to us or not. We're going to follow up with a phone call with the ones that we really, really care about.
So who makes the phone calls for you?
It's actually a guy we have working here. His name is Matt.
Okay, so Matt makes the calls.
Yeah.
And that's his role? Or, I mean, I imagine he has other responsibilities too, but does he just have the gift of gab, or has he talked to so many people he can speak the language?
Yeah, he's just gotten so good at being on the phone and getting these companies to give us discounts or convincing them to sell to us. It's just like he used to have a lot more job duties, and then we started to recognize that he was getting so good at this part about being on the phone with companies and being able to talk to them that we started outsourcing a lot of his duties to his other duties to VAs so that he could focus more on just straight company communication and talking with them on the phone or directly through email. Because that's what he was really good at. So it was something that we analyzed, saw he was super good at it, and tried to make it a focus of his job duties.
Here's one thing that I'm confused about, right? So I imagine other people are too. If you're making, let's say you're sending out 100 contacts a week, and you're getting in touch with what percentage of them would you say, even with a follow-up phone call?
Right now our approval rate is somewhere between, I would say around 50%.
Okay, so let's just say 50%. That makes it easy, right? So you got 50 places that you've got approval ready to buy from. Now, I assume you deselect some of those because you run the numbers, you look at the products, and you say, no, 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 not a good, you know, it just doesn't work. Math doesn't work. But there are lots of them, my bet is, that are good. You know, and you know, I'm thinking of one of the wholesalers that I got out in ASD. They have 3,200 SKUs. I mean, it's enormous. How do you – how does a small business take on 50 new accounts with, I don't know, 100 SKUs to 1,000 SKUs and scale and manage all that? Because it's not like the business has stopped, right? I mean, there's an enormous amount, because this is every week in and week out, right?
Yeah, we've definitely grown into this. We definitely didn't start at that kind of level. Luckily, we've just been successful, and we've added more help, more employees, more systems in place to continue where we can grow on this level and contact companies on this level.
I mean, is 50 accounts falling off the other end?
It's usually a mixture of we just couldn't convince them to sell to us, or we couldn't convince them, or we couldn't work out a price that worked with them. Because I'll just give you guys a big tip here for everyone getting into wholesale, and that is that whenever you contact a company or communicate with a company and they give you a price list, it means absolutely nothing. That is not the price that you can negotiate if you're good at negotiation and understand what you're doing.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say it, because, you know, I'm thinking of one of the examples out in Vegas I had. So I'm looking at the pricing, and the pricing wouldn't work. Their wholesale model couldn't make any money, you know, by the time Amazon fees come off and you this and that. And I'm like, and she's, well, that's our price. And I'm like, boom, pull up the Amazon site and say, well, how's this guy selling it for this? Well, yeah, that's a problem. And I'm like, okay, I understand it's a problem because you want them to, you know, to stick to MAP. But they must be buying it cheaper than that, because Amazon's going to take roughly a third of that. Well, and they hemmed and hawed for a little bit, and then eventually they said, well, they must be on our distributor pricing. And I'm like, what's distributor pricing? I want that. And she smiled. And then right then I realized, hold on, just as you're saying, this price list is not the price list for the price list. This is the retail price, retail stores, brick and mortar price list. There's a sub price list. And I was like, oh. And then when I see those prices, it's like, oh, absolutely, I can see how they can, you know, hold that price, you know. And it really changed the discussion. Do you experience a lot of that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we take nothing at face value, which helps us. These challenges only make our business better and only make the products that we carry better. So when we deal with a company who's price lists look terrible at first, we know that a lot of people looked at those and then left. And instead, we'll call and battle and get that price down to where we start making money. And then all those people that didn't do that, I mean, they just missed out. And now we have a successful product that's working for us. Or another thing that people do is they'll regularly try to sell wholesale or purchase wholesale with a company, and they'll see on the application, absolutely no more Amazon sellers, or we're not taking any more Amazon sellers on. And we see that and just roll our eyes and continue forward. And we will convince them to sell to us and convince them why we are so much better. We will help them out so much more than anyone else that they're selling to, that's selling their product rather on Amazon, and how they would be crazy not to sell to us.
Well, if I remember correctly, Dan mentioning too, is you guys have reps. So, you know, a vendor would have a rep, right? So they would have somebody that they're talking to weekly. I guess it's an ordering system, right? But still, they would have somebody that's generally in contact with them. They get to know Steve over time, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And that matters for a lot of reasons, and it gives that legitimacy where, you know, I'm a single business person. That's a big struggle for me. I don't have time. They're going to get my voicemail because I'm, you know, doing 7,000 other things. You guys don't have that problem, and that's a big deal. How long did it take till you hired your first phone sourcer?
So came on around the same time as me.
Okay.
Actually, yeah. And then he had a lot of, like I mentioned, he had a lot of other duties too. He was doing a lot of the actual products.
So this is Matt.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
It was Matt. Yeah, he was doing a lot of the product sourcing as well, and now he does a whole lot less of product sourcing. That's mostly now almost entirely automated, where the VAs are doing product sourcing and just send him the ones that look good, and he'll move forward from there.
And the reason they're able to do that, again, they're using templates that you designed.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, models and structures that we put in place.
And you handle all that?
Sure, yeah, we do collectively. Dan also very involved in that.
And you do training?
Yes, yeah, I handle a lot of the training that we do, the training with the VAs originally, the new hires, heavily involved in that, selecting people, helping train them as well, yeah. And then really, luckily, you outsource, and then that person outsources. Like, we've got it now to where Matt's so good at the stuff he does. When it's a a job duty related in that area, he can train that person. It doesn't, okay, doesn't have to be Dan, or it doesn't have to be me. You do a good job with training, if you want to call it the middle management level, they can kind of do it from there. So it saves you more time, buys you more time, so you can focus on more important things.
So what would Dan and Eric say that you brought them, you brought to their business? You know, and I know it's hard to say, you know, I know what you think that you would, they would say, but realistically, I mean, I know what they're going to say because I was just with them. So what do they say?
Probably structure. I believe is the word.
Consistency. Yeah. Yeah. Very consistent. And that was, they said, they credit with a lot of their growth. So let me ask you the question. Everybody else is thinking to themselves, why don't you go out and do this on your own? Why don't you steal all their ideas? Do you already know all their products? Why don't you steal it all and go and do your own thing?
It's because it's about what we're all able to accomplish together. I don't know, just us and our skill sets individually, I don't would never work for what we can all do. Putting our three,
collectively,
yeah, our three heads together just is a monster. You know, we feel like we can accomplish anything. It wouldn't shock me if we could ramp this up to a $50 to $100 million a year enterprise. Together.
Are you rewarded by that?
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like I mean, do you go home with a little pep in your step and say, "Hey, honey, look what we got done this week"?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. I love being able to whip up those sales numbers and just see what we did, you know, over the course of a day or a week or a month. And, you know, it feel like you had a direct impact on that.
You guys still high five in every so often? And
yeah, we'll do it this month. Actually, we'll do over $500,000 in sales this month. So that's sky high for March for us from years previous.
That's incredible. You know, it's interesting to me because I know a lot of people are sitting back and saying, you know, yeah, this is a luxury I don't think I can afford. What size company, now looking at where they were, so you said they were $1.2 million when they brought you on. How quickly would you say, you know, obviously the first month you cost them money, but how quickly do you think you brought them a return where it was effective?
It probably took 3 months. And when they something that's important is that when they hired me, they didn't think that they could afford to do it, but based off of what they had to pay me, and they decided they would take pay cuts to bring me on.
Wow.
So a big incentive to them and their goal and what their plan was.
Do you think that was because they saw that your strength was not their strength or not their why, not the thing that they enjoyed in the business?
Yeah, and that's why we work so well together.
Hmm. Do you think your strength – or Dan's strength is not your why?
I would agree with that. I would say that's correct.
Okay. And so, you know, and I guess where I was going with this is just, again, to reinforce, that's why you don't go out and do it on your own, because the stuff that he's doing, you don't want to do. That's not your thing. You're getting to do the thing you love. And let's face it, you've been being prepared for it. That communications education is coming in handy, right? Because let's face it, you're using it all the time. That teaching, right, you're adjunct professor, so guess what? That teaching, you're using it all the time. And that consistency of that you brought their business, that's your thing. They didn't have it. They would say that, right? Fairness.
Oh, yeah. And it really worked out well, just getting us all three together, yeah.
What weakness did you have that these guys have helped address?
Oh, man. I would imagine that I'm not a real people person, right? I'm really good when it comes to writing, but communicating in person or over Skype or on the phone was not something that I was very good at. But they've really helped me along with that, because if you've ever met Dan, that you know he's a really good people person.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him dance. He is a people person, as a matter of fact. I just got that vision again. What's the best advice that you received that you're using? Not that you've heard, but that you're actually using.
It's that I'm actually using.
Yeah. I mean, everybody says, oh, what's the best advice? And you always hear, oh, you know, don't take any wooden nick. I mean, it is silly stuff. But, I mean, is there advice that you've gotten that you put into place and you're looking back at it saying, man, I'm glad I listened to that guy?
It's just never stop trying to learn. You've never learned at all.
Hmm.
Always be learning. That's what I would try to recommend everyone do.
Would you say that's one of the personal habits that you have that's really contributed to your success?
Absolutely. I feel like I teach everything I do myself because, and even though that's not necessarily the case, I put myself in position to learn as much as possible, whether it's asking people questions, whether it's doing research until I can't stay awake any longer, whether it's just testing stuff, trial and error to see what works or what doesn't. It's always about learning experiences.
You know, as I was sitting there listening to you, I'm thinking, all right, what did you do today? Walk me through your day today. I was going to ask you what you do in a normal week, but now I want to know what you did today. How did you bring their business forward today?
We spent a lot of – actually, where we had come back from Orlando, and Dan was gone all of last week on vacation, we spent the entire day doing meetings and just absolutely masterminding and figuring out – what we were going to do with certain projects and how we were going to move forward and communicating back and forth and bouncing ideas off each other and really just planning out the next few months of our business.
Do you have a lot of projects going right now?
Always have a million at all times, and it gets difficult to prioritize sometimes, but yeah.
But what the good news is there's actually three different people that can work on the projects, right? And so there you have your toe in all of them, I assume, as probably both other guys do too. But do you feel like do you feel invested in those?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay, so what are you going to do tomorrow?
Shoot, you may want to edit this out. Let me think.
Oh no, I'm not editing it out. You better tell me. I want to hear it because I'm going to check.
Sure.
So it better be real. You better be there at 8 o'clock. I'm checking. I'm gonna sign in down. I'm gonna call down there. You better answer the phone.
Actually, I think I'll spend the first part of the day doing some maintenance stuff, but the second part of the day, actually the entirety, it will be training one of our employees on some new job duties for him, which is will do with communication and kind of customer service type stuff. So I'm gonna make sure that he fully understands that. We'll spend a lot of time focusing on it and getting him better at it. So, yeah, that's what I'll be doing tomorrow.
You know, and sitting back as a business owner, it is – that stuff is so important, but none of us have the time to do it. So, hence the reason having somebody like yourself who's not in the firing line who can jump in and take that and make sure it gets done, right? Because everybody says they should do it, right? And nobody does it, right? Because they just don't have the time. Life gets crazy and the world takes over. Do you get vacations?
Yeah, actually. I don't really – I don't take them, though.
Oh, that's probably – I was going to say, how do you disconnect from this? Because it gets consuming, doesn't it?
I enjoy work. I enjoy coming to work here. You know, it's – work is my vacation.
Well, how do you unplug?
When I do, I guess it's mostly go back to that collectible card game again, right? Play a little magic, spend time with my wife, just that sort of thing.
Okay, so you are able to disconnect a little bit. But do you go in every place saying, there's a product, and you're looking at the manufacturer's name saying, hey, did we contact this company?
Yeah, it's crazy because even though we don't do retail arbitrage at all anymore, even when I'm in a store, I can't help but scan some stuff just because I'm interested.
And have you found leads that way?
Absolutely, we have all the time where I'm just like, wow. This product is really good, RA. I wonder if we can get it wholesale and what price we can get it. And we try to do that.
Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking about this, right? So, you know, I'm looking at my coffee cup as I'm at my desk. And I'm thinking, okay, if you've bought wholesale coffee cups from two or three different companies, you now know roughly, you know, that you're going to pay $1.78, right? You paid $1.50 for one and $2 from the other, right? And maybe $1.75 from the third. And so you have some experience with that. So when a vendor, you find a new vendor and they have something cool and they come back and say, oh, it's $2.50, you have leverage because you know that that's not the price. That's what they're putting out to people. As you say, that causes most people, that's the first barrier people come up against, and that weeds out the people who aren't willing to do any work at all, right? So the ones that do carry over that hurdle, you have an advantage because you really know kind of the floor or the ceiling, I guess, depending on which way you look at it, but really a target of where that you need to get to that profitability level. Have you been able to Have you guys sold in so many categories? That's kind of true across pretty much all of them now.
Yeah, I think so. We started doing wholesale, very niche based. It was very, very much focused on health and personal care. But now we carry products in every category just about.
Well, because I know people are sitting there saying, well, how do you negotiate? How do you know when it's low enough? How do you know, right? It's not your profitability. It's really what the market price is in wholesale. And how do you know that? Well, I think it's through experience, right? I'm assuming there are vendors you're not buying from anymore that you guys did. And then you just realize, wow, we overpaid for that all those years.
Yeah, it's always evolving. And a lot of these companies that you'll deal with, to build that a relationship, because relationships are so important, that we'll even purchase a product where we don't make any money just to kind of get in and start building that relationship with that company, because we know we will be able to turn it into a profitable relationship very soon down the road. We just have to get in first.
Are you guys out doing a lot of trade shows anymore, or is it really an online game for you because of the scale that you're at?
Yeah, it's just an online game for us. We don't really trade show at all. It's not a part of our business model.
You know, it's an incredible model. To me, it's incredible how sophisticated it's become, because you guys can just churn them out week in and week out. You know, 100 contacts, you get 50, you know, follow-throughs, you follow up a phone call with these guys, and did you get a lot of trade referrals?
Absolutely.
I mean, are you at the place where you're asking that question?
Yeah, we do, actually. It's real important to pick those up and use those for the future.
Yeah, what's complementary to your product, and what company is complementary that you would recommend, that kind of thing, right? Because they all talk.
Yeah.
I mean, and I remember someone telling me that he went to a shoe event, and he said, I was at one side, and they all knew each other. Oh, yeah, you bought from blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how do you know that? We all talk. They all go out together at night. They go out together.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. One of the companies that we carry their product now, he actually reached out to us through his different networks of selling with other manufacturers that have a similar product. He found out about us, and we didn't even have to contact him. He called us wanting us to carry his product.
You know, as I sit back and I think about this, so again, this is what Dan told me. He said, you know, Steve, this was an investment we made. It was kind of a gut thing, but we knew it was the right decision because we knew we needed to scale this up. We needed help. And it sounds to me like you kind of, you know, figured it out as you went along, but it sounds to me that consistency you brought to the business, that professionalism, and I don't want to call them unprofessional, I don't mean it that way, but that organized approach, that consistent message going out is really what really drives. What's your recommendation for a small business? So they're not up to 1.2 million. There's not two of them. There's only one guy, and he's maybe at the 300,000 to 400,000 mark. He wants to get into wholesale because he's doing RA or he's doing OA, and he's saying, "Man, I got to get out of this. I can't take it anymore. I can't get past this point." So he can use a prep company to help him grow. But how would you approach somebody like you at that level of business?
You would definitely – it would be about identifying someone that you think could really help you in whatever means or fashion that is, and then figuring out what you're good at. A lot of it has to do with analyzation of your failures as well. You have to basically continually fail with trying to open up wholesale accounts and then learn from why you failed and then restructure. So as you've done that, you start to learn what you need to do going forward. And then,
explain that. How would I know why I failed? I mean, are you asking for feedback to say, hey, XYZ company coffee mug, you know, I understand that you don't want to do business, but can you tell me why?
Yeah, we actually ask them a lot if they turned us down. We'll call them to ask us why they turned us down, email them to ask us why they turned us down. And
what have you heard?
A lot of times it is just the fact that we have enough Amazon sellers and they understand, the company understands that adding another Amazon seller does not necessarily increase the number of sales that they'll do on the platform, which is what our entire communication method is, to try and help them understand that adding us as a seller will increase your sales on the platform. But sometimes they just hear it so often that method doesn't get through to them. But that's the thing. When you're first starting out, you never get through those people. that don't want to add any new Amazon sellers. But the more that you work with them and you see the things that they need in their brand and their business, the more of those things you can add to your communication message so that you can convince them to sell to you.
So would you say then the guy who's at that $300,000 to $400,000 mark, the first thing that he should be doing is getting that consistent message and documenting the process, right? Because that alone, I mean, you don't need to have another person to help you do that. You really just need to consistently do it, you know, 5 contacts a day or 5 contacts a week or whatever, consistently with the same message. That's you'll start to see some results, correct?
Yeah, you got to do a lot of it on your own at first and then figure out what – parts can you outsource to save you time so that you can focus on what you're good at. If you're really good at sourcing, if you're able to find lots of products that look very good, prospective products, but you're really bad at the communication part, then you need someone to help you with the communication. If you're really good with the communication part and you think you've got that down, but you have trouble finding products, then you need to find someone that's better at sourcing than you are. So you need to analyze, like, what are you really good at? What can you spend your time most effectively doing, and find someone else to do the other stuff.
Well, let me ask this question. This is going to get you in trouble. So you better be careful how you answer this because they're both a lot bigger than you. Would Dan be as successful by himself versus Eric, knowing the two of them? Or do you think collectively they're three? They're not one and one equals two. They're three.
Yeah, they're definitely three. Eric is really good with numbers. I mean, he's definitely the numbers guy. And he definitely has a completely different perspective on most things than Dan does. I'd say they're both atypical in a lot of things, but they're atypical in different ways. And then they come together and they can figure out a lot of stuff out. So where Eric's really good with numbers and crunching that and putting stuff together, Dan is really good with building those relationships with people and with companies that Eric is not very good at.
I mean, you know, where I was going was I was thinking to myself, is this the opportunity for two sellers to partner in acquiring wholesale accounts? Because, again, you got to watch for price fix. You can't sell at the same price, but you can sell at MAP because ultimately that's what you want to do anyway, right? If the company requires you to sell at MAP, boom, you're safe, right? There's nothing price fix. They tell you the price and you stick to it. That's very healthy, and having two people work on an account, I think, is very smart, and I think that might be a way for somebody in that lower level to scale up and to get to that next place without making that big investment yet because they're not in a position to do that. You agree?
Yes, absolutely.
So what's next for Dylan? What do you see? You know, where do you see yourself going? I mean, do you plan on – is this a long haul? Do you see yourself helping ride this to a $50 to $100 million business?
I hope so. See, that's the thing, that we've tried to put all these different processes in place to continue to scale and focus in different areas. So right now we're at the point where our VAs even – we have an executive VA, and that executive VA manages the other VAs and hires new VAs. So when we need a new VA, I'm totally hands-off with it. I can just talk to that executive VA that we spent a lot of time training and invested a lot of effort and time into, and she can handle that whole process. When we have new employees come in, we don't have to individually train them all there. You know, our other employees can help to train them so that we can continue to scale and don't have to focus on that sort of stuff. And we keep trying to – Dan, Eric, and I keep trying to outsource different job duties so that we can focus on the big picture thinking and planning and execution of our business. And hopefully it eventually will become something that is very self-sustaining. I mean, right now, Dan and Eric on a weekly basis are spending less than 20 hours a week on the Amazon business because it doesn't require that much focus or attention from them, and they probably don't need to spend that much time on it, and it continues to grow independent of them to effectively where they're just like shareholders instead of involved owners. That's really the goal, right? And
yeah, it becomes a sustain. I mean, they've become a legitimate business. I mean, there is not a, you know, like you said, out of the garage or in the basement or whatever. They've really become a legitimate business with a large facility with staff. Departmentalized, right, in some ways. Not everybody wants that, but clearly they have figured out a model that works for them.
Yeah, we just want to keep developing processes or doing things that allows us to focus our time on growing the business instead of tasks that take up our time to complete.
Is there any investment that you could see in a business that most people are not making, in their business that you would say, hey, this has really done well for us? Would it be the anchor approach or something like that? Really, you know, pulling back and because it's a huge investment to hire somebody like you to put together this big, you know, it's a big project.
Yeah, you can do a lot of it yourself. You can definitely run your own, get the business started and ramped up yourself. It's just going to take, you'll need a little bit of help. You'll need some resources or some people to communicate back and forth with to get started and learn from it and some research. But I think anyone can run the business by themselves successfully. It's just when you really want to start scaling it up to the multi-million-dollar levels when you should start seeking help. But you can definitely do it alone. Hmm. And just the anchor, the whole anchor site is – that approach is what I would suggest for anyone that wants to do
okay.
it. Yeah.
And I think it's sound, and I think you're right, and that will give you that legitimacy because people do ask. I mean, they still have a vendor right now saying, hey, can I have some more back? They want the exact same stuff you were just talking about.
Yeah.
So how do you keep sharp? So what are you reading anything you can recommend, any podcast you're listening to, things to keep you focused and keep you sharp?
I listen to your podcast.
Well, that's very good. But any others?
I just do a lot of reading and masterminding and communicating with people in Facebook groups, and that's how I learn a lot, really.
You know, and you're not the only one to say that, you know, it used to be you had to read books, right? You had to read books because that's where the big ideas come from. But I look at some of these incredible discussions going on in some of these groups, and I think to myself, my God, these are brilliant people challenging – you know, not in a negative way, just building on the other person's thoughts, and it just gets bigger and bigger. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a whole book right there. That's a big thesis. And, you know, to see that. So I agree with you. And you're not the first person to say that. That's really becoming more and more prevalent that you're getting this information faster in a more concise way and more, you know, more focused with Facebook and people talking.
Yeah, just the volume of information that you can glean in those conversations, whether it's people that are having struggles or people that are having success. I learned from both.
Oh, I like that. You can learn from both. And I agree with you because you've had some of those struggles, or if you've seen the way they figured it, you're saying, huh, we're approaching, that might be a better way. I'm sure that's happened, right?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times.
All right, very cool. Okay, so the goal of this podcast is to help people move forward, right? You know, they're at that $30,000 mark we've been talking about, and they can't scale past it because they just keep coming up against challenges. Can you give us a tip or trick that you would, from your perspective, give us that you saw work so well in Dan and Eric's business that's just been able to propel them that you think that can help that smaller seller?
Paralysis by analysis is a real thing, and I see it hit a lot of people. The thing about our business and Dan and Eric is that when they want to do something, they do it. They don't sit and think about it, or they don't theorize about it and then decide not to do it or whatever. They just dive headfirst and do things and learn from them, and whether it's succeed or fail, they tried. And if they failed, they tried it again. And that's what I really think that it's a huge, huge takeaway I think anyone can learn from and start just do something. Whatever you've been thinking about, if you've been thinking about selling shoes, if you've been thinking about selling bras, if you've been thinking about trying wholesale, just do it. Get started. Whatever that step is, do it.
Love it. Okay, so the best way to get in touch with you, somebody has a question, they want to follow up on something we've been talking about. You open for somebody can approach you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can send me a message on Facebook. It's Dylan Frost okay. on Facebook, or you can send me an email. It's dylan.krc@gmail.com, dylan.krc@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. And the group that Dan and Eric have, it's called what?
FBA Wholesale Community. It's just a free group that anyone can join on Facebook.
And you're in there.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what I was going to say, because then I see a lot of you discussing FBA Wholesale Community. And I'll have links to all those. And that's another place they can get information from you. And it's free, right? They aren't going to get – they don't have to buy anything.
Oh, yeah. Totally free. We have a YouTube okay. YouTube channel and all kinds of stuff. We post okay. videos in there.
You know, I really appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation, because I think it's a perspective issue for people. They're sitting there saying, hey – I need to add somebody else into my business because I know the things I don't want to do, but I know they need to get done. And I would say that the stuff that you're doing, we all know that needs to get done, and we don't give it the effort because we got to get our boxes out, right? We got to get stuff in. We got to buy. And we aren't paying attention to this stuff. And I think it's proven, Dan and Eric have proven the results that bringing somebody on like you can bring, and that consistency is just amazing. And I applaud you for it. I know it's not easy, but I really think it's such a cool story, and just amazing what you've been able to do. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, I hope someone is inspired the same way that Dan and Eric were inspired. Just surround yourself with the smartest, most skilled, talented people that you know, and good things will come of it.
And give them the tools and the freedom, right? Give them some freedom,
right?
To make some mistakes, as you said. The first month, you didn't make any money. You probably cost them money, but took about 3 months, and boom, look at the return. Amazing growth. So, man, I appreciate it. I can't wait to see you again. Wish you nothing but success, and just have a great night. Right. Take care.
Thanks.
I hope you enjoyed this because it is I love the idea of getting to talk to other people involved in the business, because it's just neat to hear their perspective. He's vested in this business even though he doesn't own it. How cool is that? Having somebody care about your business as much as you do. It's just such a neat thing to see. He's a great kid. And there's no doubt in my mind, together, the three of them are going to be incredibly successful. ecommercemomentum.com. Please come out and check us out. Got a lot of cool stuff on the site. Appreciate you listening. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.